is called the Art of Mud Fest, and it's part of a townwide festival commemorating the flood. So
Prattsville, New York sits at the northwestern corner of Greene County. A community of just 700 people, the town became notorious almost 2 years ago, in August of 2011, after being nearly annihilated by flooding from Hurricane Irene. In the nearly 2 years that have passed since the floods, daily life remains informed by the work of recovery. While some former residents have left the region entirely, many have chosen to stay and rebuild. Yet others have brought entirely new enterprises to Prattsville, encouraged by the possibility of a community in flux.
That's kind of how this place came about. You know, after the flood, I hadn't really interacted with the town all that much. I would just come up here to make my art and kind of hide out. But I started going to the community planning meetings, and I wanted to do something, but I am no good at drywalling a wall. It's just, you don't want that. But when I started hearing people say, like, oh, the kids here don't have anything to do, there's no place open in the evening, I thought, oh, well, you know, I've been teaching for over 20 years. That's something I know about. And so we thought, you know, maybe we'll do something.
In the area? Will you be back here
be back
before late August?
Yeah.
If you could bring it.
Nancy Barton is the director of the Prattsville Art Center and Residency, and also an art professor at New York University. In 2012, the center opened its doors to a blend of international artists as well as members of the local community.
Plus, I have a bare wall in my house.
First, I looked at a house across the street that was vacant for a long time, and then I looked over here, and the owner just said, go ahead, use it, you know, for free. And so we ran the place out of here for a year without heat or water. We just used the bathroom at the firehouse across the street. And it was great. I mean, there's just such a good energy. I brought a lot of my classes up from NYU. And then we started to get, you know, interested in trying to get grants to fix it. And we were incredibly lucky. Art Place, which is a consortium of 13 of the largest foundations in America that are funding placemaking initiatives, which means that art is being used to improve towns and the energy of, you know, the place and people who live there. They came, and it was just a miracle because, you know, most of the places they funded were like Cleveland, you know, and when they said they were coming on a site visit to Prattsville, I mean, it was just so exciting. Half the town turned out, you know, and I think that they were really charmed by that, you know, that so many people were really interested and had so much hope for the town. And so, you know, they have given us a really substantial grant, and we're applying for other support. We also got a support as part of a consortium with Mainly Green, which is for organizations across Greene County, the Catskill, Greene County Council for the Arts, the Catskill Mountain Foundation, and the Pratt Museum, and us. And so the idea was to make a continuum of, you know, artists' events that people could attend. And the other organizations have been so generous to us with their, you know, their press information and helping us publicize things.
Barton feels that the center's reception from local residents has been largely positive.
Yeah, definitely. People are really excited. I think some people are still nervous to come in. I don't know if it's my glasses or the dust and debris in the art center. But in general, you know, it's just going to take a while because there's never been any art support in the town. There's the museum, which, you know, does do occasional, you know, very realistic painting shows. But, you know, we're a very contemporary art project, and we're trying to mix the kinds of projects that people might do off the, you know, out of their backyard, you know, not really to make art necessarily, with people who want to be artists, with people who are famous artists from Europe, and we've had people from Mexico, Berlin, you know, China come and stay and make work here. So it's really quite, I think it's like almost a collage of putting these different groups of people together. That is kind of what I think of as my art project. So, you know, just kind of creating these interfaces that it kind of creates a different sort of energy and a different kind of experience for people.
Prattsville Art Center is located just a few doors down from another local institution, the Zadock Pratt Museum. Now in its 50th year, the former home of Zadock Pratt, along with its historic collection, suffered massive damage during the flooding. In summer of 2012, the museum reopened its doors to the public, revealing a raw interior in an exhibition entitled After Irene. On display were Larry Gambin's photographs of the days and weeks following the storm. With sheetrock extending down only as far as the high water level, visitors could not escape the reality of Prattsville's ongoing recovery.
I think, you know, if you ask any homeowner or business in Prattsville, I think you're going to get a similar response. You know, certainly with the museum, you know, myself and Susie and a couple of, you know, other people, we worked tirelessly at the beginning to get these rooms ready. And as you can see, you know, Susie's, you know, kitted them out fantastically well. It looks like a real museum, you know, small museum. And but it took a lot of work. But as I said earlier, behind, you know, these walls, behind, you know, in other rooms and upstairs and, you know, in the carriage house behind the museum, there's still a lot of disarray. There's still a lot of work to be done. There's still a lot of grants to be written. There's still a lot of time and energy that's going to have to be sought from a lot of people in order to get the museum back to its mm-hmm. It's almost like a vintage car that's been resprayed and it looks great, but underneath the bonnet there's still a lot of work to be done.
Andrew Reed is an employee of the museum and an active member of the mountaintop community who witnessed the storm and its aftermath firsthand.
You know, from 1 to 10, how far along the path are we? I would say maybe 2, at a stretch 3. Still got a lot of money to raise, a lot of people to approach in order to help us, you know, grants to get. And that's what the people who are not affiliated with the museum don't realise and don't see necessarily, that that's still an ongoing process. You know, if you look behind the museum, for example, you'll see a contractor is actually working in the carriage house, fixing the carriage house up. If you look beyond these doors, you'll see that the museum still looks as the same as it did last year. So the concentration of work was in the front of the museum in order to get an exhibit open to the public.
Since Irene, both Reed and director Susie Walsh have worked to reinvent the museum following destruction of much of its collection.
Yeah, well, you're standing right where the water came through here, and we have, as you can see, the water came up to about 5.5 feet. We have it marked over there. And in addition to that, 11 more inches were taken down because the wall boards were soggy and we wanted to prevent molding. And this was once the beautiful dining room of Zadig Pratt, where he entertained people from all over the world. And it's a sorry sight now, but we're working on it. Everything's at the restorers. Everything on the first floor, because it got crunched, is at the restorers. We don't have enough money to get it restored, these items, but that's where they're safe and sound, along with documents, which are in a deep freeze. But I'm told that Zadig Pratt's dining room, the famous dining room table, is being returned, along with a portrait. These are the first items, along with the cannon. These three things took the priority with the money that we did have to get the things that were damaged repaired.
The minute you take these documents out of storage, they have to be restored immediately, because the minute they thaw out, they continue to rot. Below us is the cellar, where we have to put in a new heating system, and that's going to cost a small fortune. You know, this is a mere band-aid that's been put over a cut that requires stitches, unfortunately.
Yet even if the collection is restored, Walsh and Reed feel a future as a history museum is unlikely.
Now, it turns out, I don't know if we'll ever be returning to a history museum, because as Carolyn has often said, the director, Carolyn Bennett, said that as she goes to meetings with other small town museums, they're all going out of business, they're all hurting, because it seems like the age of the small town museum is past, unless you're supporting somebody like Washington or Jefferson at Monticello. So they're going through a process right now where they're reinventing themselves. And one of the ways Carolyn thought we could reinvent the Zadig Pratt Museum was to reach out more regionally, not just to Prattsville and the next town, but the whole Catskill region, which is what our current exhibit is about.
You know, if you look at places like Prattsville, and you know, close by Gilboa, Stamford, etc. She's right that a lot of small museums are struggling to maintain themselves because maybe technology's taken over. People aren't as interested in the historic, unfortunately. For example, last week we had a meet and greet with the local historians and, you know, historic societies, tourism boards, in order to come together and bring together thoughts and ideas of how we could move forward. I mean, the ethos, the mission of the museum, like other museums, is to educate and to illustrate through the museum that, you know, this is a historic place. This is where Zadok Pratt lived, and he was such an integral part of the town.
Though nearly 150 years have passed since Pratt's death, his legacy still looms large in the consciousness of the town. By 1826, the Prattsville Tannery was the largest in the nation, transforming the once sleepy settlement into a thriving hub of industry. Pratt would go on to many other endeavors, not the least of which was to have been a United States congressman. But despite far-flung success, he is remembered locally as a modest man.
All right, we're standing right now in what was originally the living room of Zadok Pratt. And although he was a modest man from a Puritan stock, his family came over on the second ship, not the Mayflower, but the second ship, the Griffin. He always maintained those morals of never showing off, never being over ostentatious, and always helping his fellow man as his brother. So this room would have been wonderfully decorated because he was the seventh richest man in the country at the time. There was plenty of luxurious fabrics and settees, but he always wanted to keep it on a quiet note. That's why you don't see a very ostentatious stairwell when you come in. It's not like Scarlett O'Hara's.
Abraham Lincoln was friends with Zadok Pratt. They were close because the two of them were involved in politics at the time. Posthumously, Abraham Lincoln gave Zadok Pratt a gold-handled walking stick to commemorate his son, and they made him, I think it was a general of the 20th Militia. Unfortunately, George, Zadok Pratt's son, died in the Civil War, the Second Battle of Bull Run, Manassas. Well, legend has it that a young man coming through town needed some work, and Zadok Pratt enlisted him to start carving pictures of himself and his horse and some family crests on the walls. And unfortunately, when Zadok Pratt's son died in the Civil War, George, it seemed to become more of a homage to George rather than a homage to Zadok.
And then he changed the motto that was inscribed on it that said, "This hand," which it was like an arm and hammer hand, "this hand for our country." He changed it to "this," after the passing of his son, "this hand for my country." And the Smithsonian is recognizing this as the first Civil War monument in the country. The very first, so.
Pratt is also remembered for his contribution to the arts. It is fitting to find the museum's canary yellow walls now brimming with the work of Thomas Locker, along with several other Neo-Hudson River painters. For the Pratt Museum, this exhibition feels like a bridge between the historical context and its rebirth as a contemporary gallery space.
Pratt was a very important, like Andy said, he's very influential and very important because he was a patron of the arts. He invited Asher B. Durand here. He was born in New Jersey. He came up here, and when he saw the mountains and the streams and met Thomas Cole, he was just so inspired by the landscape. Thomas Locker, unbeknownst to many, many people, he was the one that was responsible single-handedly to bring back the Hudson River School into vogue after an absence of like 75 years. It was considered dead in 1889. And Thomas Locker's paintings are very simple, they're very graceful, they're very loving, gentle. He doesn't push his art in your face. You can stand here and be a person off the street with no knowledge of art at all, and you get what he was trying to share, his experience. So all the rest of the paintings in this exhibit, which start here, mm-hmm. are by his students, and he had many, many students. These three, Athena Belias, Patty Ferreira, and Carol Slutsky Tenorowicz, those three were selected because they were nearby and they had close affiliation with Locker. Some of Athena's paintings kind of break the mold of the Hudson River paintings. She likes to stretch out a little. She's the boldest of them all. So Carol Slutsky Tenorowicz, she was originally a lithographer, mm-hmm. and she paints on stone. That's a beautiful little image of the top of the falls. She's won many prizes nationwide, I should say. Is Patty Ferreira's painting of Thomas Locker painting Bastion's Rock, which he painted over there. So the theme of painting the painter painting is an age-old one.
By offering contemporary works based on historical views, Reed and Walsh hope viewers will contemplate current issues surrounding the future of nearby Catterskill Clove, along with other significant landscapes.
So now we have the clove, which symbolizes this, and right where Durand stood, Sanford Gifford, Thomas Cole, we have graffiti all over these places. We are certainly hoping to draw attention to the plight of the Catterskill Clove right now, which is considered by the local people to be endangered. And in fact, there's been a 10-year plan by the local people. They've got a packet together that they're ready to present to Governor Cuomo to ask him if he'd be a sponsor to get the Catterskill Clove registered as a national historical landmark status, just like Yellowstone, just like Niagara Falls, so that it could be duly protected. Now, not everybody's happy with that solution. People were hoping for more local solutions, which have been tried in the past and really haven't been given enough time to see if they would work. Sometimes less is better. So there's a little ongoing friction about it. But
what protection and increased protection would be to offer controls and to offer sufficient parking spaces, or, you know, provide places for people to swim, to climb, to go nature walks and to view the beauty of the clove, but in a controlled way that minimises any damage to the area. And, you know, if that's good enough for places like Yellowstone or Yosemite or, you know, wherever around the world or around America, it's good enough for the clove. Why not?
Meanwhile, at the Arts Center, other artists have found inspiration in local landscape.
I like the idea of, like, the kind of rural avant-garde.
This is a piece by Beatrice Guo, who's one of our artists in residence who just left, and she left this behind. And these are local cattails that she found and created as a screen. And then behind that, you see photographs by Bernie Herman, who is an older photographer. He used to be a wedding photographer, and he's a lovely man. And he's been taking photographs in Prattsville since the flood. And he will probably have some more of those images up for Mudfest. But right now, these are landscapes, but you can see he alters the color. So they almost look like David Lynch movies, you know? They're a little eerie and creepy. I particularly love that one because it's like kind of really happy, but then kind of really scary at the same time.
While approaches vary, both the Pratt Museum and Prattsville Art Center seek to highlight the unique history and potential of the local area.
There's definitely a connection with everybody here, and we're very happy to have Nancy here and giving the little boost with the art. She was over here the other day, and we were talking about the similarities of our mission, but the differences are that we're a history museum, and that because that's our mission, we have to adhere to that mission statement, whereas she's an art place where, you know, she can be spontaneous, where unfortunately we can't do that. In that sense, we have to be more grounded and more historically accurate.
Seeing what we are doing is inspiring for them, and certainly what they're doing is very inspiring for us. And, you know, it's really great to have these kind of different populations that, you know, they already have a sort of group of people that comes to their events. Mm-hmm. And we also have, you know, our constituency.
When you have a huge devastation hit your town, it kind of, in some ways, gives you a blank canvas. I think Nancy represents that. She's trying something new. She's managed to get some money to create something artistically, and I hope, and I'm pretty sure that she'll be successful, and that can only help the town. Together with Nancy's, vision of what she wants to do, allied with our mission to educate and to bring towards the town and people towards the town, I think we can complement each other and together lift the town out of the slum that was bestowed upon it by Irene.
Both organizations will be participating in the second annual Mudfest on August 23rd and 24th.
It's a light-hearted approach at dealing with the after effects of Hurricane Irene, and the one thing that everybody, the overriding remembrance of that time directly after the flood was the mud. And I think it's a light-hearted way of trying to overcome the emotions that everybody felt in the town towards the devastation of the hurricane.
So Prattsville decided, okay, let's have a Mudfest. And even though everybody had been up to here with mud and toxic mold and cleaning out everything with bleach, they brought back truckloads of mud and created this situation where people could play in it instead of being destroyed by it. And it was sort of like recapturing their sort of their agency, if I could use that word.
Making a mockery of a common enemy.
Exactly, exactly. And having fun with something that really was a tragedy. And so we are just participating in that. We're having, we're very excited, actually. We're having the premiere of a new play, which is based on Plato's Republic as translated by Alain Badiou, famous French philosopher. And it's by a group of people called the Red Bagel Collective, which includes artists like Colleen Asper and a woman who's a performance curator at MoMA.
We've invited Abraham Lincoln to visit the Zadok Pratt House, and we hope Zadok himself will be here. We're negotiating that to welcome him to the Zadok Pratt House, and from the porch.
Somebody, I don't know who it was, told me, but there's a rumor going around that Zadok Pratt actually works and is the manager of the Spinning Room bar in Tannersville, and that's where he's coming from that day.
It's almost like Santa on a sleigh.
When the levee breaks, Mama, you got to move. I work on the levee, Mama, both night and day.
To learn more about Prattsville Art Center and affiliated artists, please visit prattsvilleart.blogspot.com. The Zadok Pratt Museum is also online at prattmuseum.com. Mudfest is a free two-day festival featuring music, games, a water blessing, and more. Located on the Green in downtown Prattsville, all are invited to join in the communal celebration. Find more information by searching Prattsville Mudfest on Facebook. And of course, thanks to Andy Reed and Susie Walsh of the Zadok Pratt Museum and Nancy Barton of the Prattsville Art Center and Residency.
Come and leave my baby and my